Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I could just pray. I could just pray for you. But you know what? I really want the... I've got a message, and I want to deliver it to you today. It's an important message, I believe. We're continuing on in our pandemic series. Really, really important that we get this message right now. One of the things that I think is really, really important is that we understand the seasons that we're in. We're in this pandemic series. We've been in this season now for a long time. And I don't know about you, but I think there needs to come an end to some stuff. And I want to speak a message today in this pandemic series. And it's entitled Necessary Endings. Necessary Endings. So can you help me to just continue to pray? I don't know if you're sensing where you're at, the presence of God, but I really believe that God is doing something. And I even hesitate to say it, but something prophetic is going to be taking place within us and in our lives and in this church in these next few weeks. So help me to pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord, your presence is amazing. It's wonderful. We thank you for your presence. It indicates to us that you're with us. God, I pray that you will be within every house and every home and every heart of every person that's watching. Lord, I pray that you would touch the deepest parts of us and that, God, you would reveal things that maybe have been hidden. I pray that you would expose things that you want us to focus on so that we can do what it is that you want us to do. Lord, we want to live in a way that gives you a reward for your sacrifice, and that's not just words, that is our hearts. Today, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. When you turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, I want to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to dive into today's message. Chapter 7, verse 8, I'm going to read through to verse 10. It says this. It says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. You know, for any new thing to begin, an old thing needs to end. And endings are not always bad things. When you do them right, when you end things right, they become starting points for something new. I know that the thought of ending some things in our lives can be disturbing. It's not good. Sometimes we think, oh, I've got to end something. We get these disturbing thoughts of pressure and, you know, fear and all different types of things take place. Different emotions arisen when you talk about endings. Some of us maybe have had some negative endings in the past. But the thing is this, we can miss out on lots of new things in life because we don't really understand the power of good endings. Not all endings are bad. Many are good and they're necessary. But our problem is we sometimes struggle to let go of things in the past and therefore we're kept back from things in the future. Are you with me? The scripture in another version sounds like this. Let's get a different perspective on what it is we're trying to look at right now. In the New Living Translation, it says it like this. Watch this. You'll notice a difference. It says, finishing is better than starting. See the difference? Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. That's heavy. But then it says this. It says, don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. Man, in this pandemic season, how many people have longed for the good old days? How many Christians have longed for the good old days when they were coming to church and ticking a box and saying hi to everyone and hugging people and high-five and dancing at the altar? Oh, if only we could get back to that. But the Bible says that some things need to be left where they were so that new things can come and can begin. What about if the new normal looks a little bit different? But you're stuck in the old normal. And therefore you don't realize. You know, don't get stuck in the past, man. The past was good then. But how many of you know God wants to do something new right now? Some things are going to be slightly different. And yes, at some stage I believe that the pandemic is going to be over. And then maybe, just maybe, things can have a little bit of a semblance of dancing at altars and hugging and doing all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I like all that stuff too. And I can dance, man. Trust me, I've got some moves. But here's the thing. When you look at things a little bit differently, we find the concept of finishing something. Not just ending something, finishing something. And that's a good thing to do. Finishing is good. How many of you know finishing is good? And the reason why it's good is because then when you finish something, it's only then that you can really form a solid judgment about what's actually been happening. Some of you know, when you're in something, you can't really evaluate it properly. Because you're in it, you're doing it, you're trying to do it, right? You're struggling through it. But when you end it, when you finish it, all of a sudden you can judge what was taking place. Huh? What was its purpose? And then you can know whether it's been positive and prosperous or not. Was it worth it or not? And that happens when we end something, when we finish something. And if we're honest, when things don't happen how we think they should, or when we don't get our own way, or we're not treated the way we should, or the ending doesn't work out the way we thought it was, then sometimes we get frustrated and angry. I've seen that in people's lives. They have a plan, and it doesn't work out the way they want it to go. And so they start getting angry, and they point fingers at people, and they start getting angry, and they get emotional, and they shout, and they raise their voice, and they blame everyone else, and then they try and cover their own backs. Hello? When we're in the midst of that stuff, because things weren't finishing how we thought they were. But you have to take responsibility for your part. And sometimes we want someone else to finish what it is that we need to finish, whether we like the way it's finishing or not. The Bible shows us that endings are necessary sometimes, and that finishing things is important. Where would we be if Jesus hadn't finished the work that the Father gave him? Where would we be if in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he got down to pray and his disciples fell asleep and he was there praying and sweating like drops of blood, such was the pressure upon him. What about if he'd said, you know what, God? This cup that you've given me is a little bit too much. And really, I know it's your will, but you know what? I'm not going to do it. Imagine that. Imagine if he hadn't have finished. Imagine if he hadn't have gone to the cross. Imagine if he hadn't have been nailed up on the cross, bleeding from all of those wounds, being mocked, having been beaten and abused, and he was there. Imagine when he was on that cross on that day. Imagine if all of a sudden he'd said, enough, angels, come down, get me off of here. Let's deal with this problem somehow, in some other way. Imagine if he hadn't have done that. We wouldn't be here. We would still be in our sin. We'd still be messed up. We'd still be locked up. But he did finish. And he even said it, didn't he? He said that on the cross, he said, it is finished. And that ending produced something. How about if the Israelites hadn't finished their bondage in Egypt? They just stayed there. When Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, says the Lord, so that they can come and worship me. Let my people go. Imagine that Pharaoh had said, okay, take them, take them. And then all the Israelites had gone, nah, you know what? We're comfortable here. Let's not go, man. Let's just stay where we're at. Then the story would have been different. It wouldn't have ended up the way it ended up. This view about endings is true for both good or evil. You ever had bad seasons and situations happen to you? You've got no idea why it's taking place. Man, the last 3 years of my life's been like that. I've had one thing after another thing after another thing that's just come in and hit me from all different angles. And I can't put my finger on it other than that, you know, God's allowed it. And God wastes nothing, so he must have a purpose in it. But you can't put your finger on it. When you're in it, you're just getting slapped about. I feel like I've been in a spiritual washing machine. Hello? Spinning around all over the place. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. But someone once said, everything comes out in the wash. Sometimes you're in that situation and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's taking place. You don't know the end result until the cycle ends. Come on now. And then you open that machine and out you tumble. I feel like I'm tumbling out of a machine. And I'm looking down and some of the stains and some of the wrinkles and some of the madness, some of the blood and some of the dirt is gone. Because an ending took place and I could see back. Are you with me? Becomes clear. Because those things that were poking at you, those things, they're gone. There's nowhere else for them to hide. The same is true for good things and situations and circumstances. Because how many of you know when you begin something, sometimes you don't know what's taking place, right? And it's not until you end it you see, was that worthwhile? Was that profitable? And it's in some of those cycles of beginnings and endings, that you start to learn the patterns of God. Because God works in patterns. It's always important to know, though, when something has reached its end. Whether you want to call it finishing the chapter or closing the door to something, what matters is that in that season, in that particular moment, in that time of a necessary ending, that whatever it is and however you want to call it, what matters is that you leave in the past those things that are over, that don't belong in the future. So are there any endings that you need to make? This is, I believe, the message that the Lord wants me to share with you today. He wants me to ask you a question. What endings do you need to make right now? Now, I know that it's a bit of a shock, a bit of a scary thing. What, something's got to end, something's got to end. But watch this. Keep watching, keep listening. But ask yourself, what things need to end? I know if I was to ask most of you that we'd all like to see this mad pandemic end. Hello. We'd like to see Rona go somewhere else, just quit. Come on now. 3 months of hardship, we were told at the beginning in March. Oh, it's going to be a few weeks, and then it's going to be a couple of months. And then I was thinking 3 months, lockdown, virtual church, go online. You know, let's see if we can get through. 6 months later, we're still going on. There's still local lockdowns. There's still fear. At least we're not getting the daily updates from Boris and his people, right? That's the only thing really that's changed. We're trying to get back. We're trying to get back into life. Things are trying to get back. People are trying to get back to work. Kids have gone back to school, right? We're trying to get back on with a little bit of more, you know, normality, for want of a better word. And now we're being warned of a possible second wave of the virus. We're just going back. People are just getting back in, and now it's like the cases are increasing. The infection rate's going up. The R value's at 1.7 now. It's doubling every week. Oh, we're looking at a really bad winter. Well, thanks. But that's where we're at. We'd love it to end. So keep praying. You remember we prayed at the beginning? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. How many of you have stopped humbling yourself and praying? So we need to keep praying. It's true, man. But I tell you one thing that has to end in our society. Fear. Fear has to end. Fear has gripped people from every social and cultural demographic. Fear. People are afraid. They're afraid of doing this. They're afraid of doing that. They're afraid of speaking here, going here. They're afraid. There's fear everywhere, and that's been fed. That's been fed by media outlets. That's been fed by unscrupulous people. That's been fed by control freaks. That's been fed because fear makes people compliant. But I'm putting an end to fear in my life. And here's the thing. I'm also, check this out, I'm really sorry, man, but I'm moving away from fear-based people. I can't be around fear-based people. People that all they're doing is worrying about their reputation, worrying about covering their tracks, worrying about not making a mistake. Fear-based people, man, I can't have it anymore. Fear has to end. Here's the thing. Someone once wrote this, and I kind of believe this. I like this. It said, someone wrote, just because you refuse to fear the COVID virus, it doesn't mean you don't think it exists. Or that it doesn't have the potential to be deadly to some people. That's true. We know that. It just means that you refuse to let it stop you from living your life. Man, we got to live our lives. Here's the thing. It's a risk, right? We're always told there's a risk. There's a risk, but how many of you know risk is everywhere? Every time you get in your car, there's a risk. Every time you get on a train, there's a risk. You go in a plane, there's a risk. Every time you leave your house, there's a risk. For some of you, every time you go in the kitchen, there's a risk. There's a risk that the fridge is going to start speaking to you and you're going to open it and you're going to hug everything in there and kiss it and eat it. There's a risk everywhere that we go. There are risks in relationships. Every time you get involved in a relationship, there's a risk. Is that person going to hurt me? Is that person going to break my heart? Is that person going to let me down? There's a risk. There's risks everywhere, man. We live in a world at risk. It also seems that in today's world, there's more risk in meeting 7 people than there is 6. So we have to be careful about that because one of them is not going to be happy. But here's the thing, risk just needs to be managed properly. And when you manage it properly, when you mitigate it, when you do all the things that you need to do, then you've got to go for it and just crack on. That's why I'm like, man, if we need to wear masks, wear masks. I'm not going to make a spiritual stand against wearing masks. If it means that a little bit of physical distancing is good, then let's have some physical distancing. It's okay. Mitigate the risk. Don't be stupid. Don't be an idiot about stuff. Right? Mitigate the risk. But then get on with life. Amen? Wash your hands. You know, wipe your mouth. Clean your teeth. Rub your eyes. Do it, you know, just do it at home, not outside. Do that stuff, but then we got to get on with some stuff. Life is just passing a lot of people by, man. And we have to end fear. There's 2 areas where necessary endings need to be made. The first one is practical or natural endings. You know, there's natural endings. There are places that physically and naturally and actually we need to finish some stuff. In this lockdown, I finished my book. Hello. That's right. Amen. Available on Amazon and all good outlets and everywhere around the world, coming up very, very shortly. So please buy a copy and then put a positive comment on Amazon or wherever it is that you find it from. Hallelujah. Quick plug, Hallelujah. But I finished it. Took me ages. But I finished it in lockdown. What have you got to finish? See, the thing is, if I hadn't finished that book, I wouldn't be able to start the other two that I'm now writing. What do you need to finish? Do you need to finish a class? Do you need to finish a course? You put down your college course, or you put down that class, you stop doing that class, you stop exercising because of lockdown, because you couldn't go to the gym. My goodness, we got people in our church that could take you through your paces online, man, keep you fit. You just need to look out for our brother Jason. Man, he'll get you as fit as a butcher's dog. In fact, you'll be fitter than a butcher's dog. But what do you have to finish? Maybe there's a job at home. Hello, men. You remember you used to say to your wife, I'll finish that job whenever I get time. And then you got furloughed for the last 6 months. Hello. I feel for you. Get on with it. Finish it. And then I've got something for the ladies. Ladies, let me say this, please. If your man tells you that he's going to finish it, he will. You don't have to keep reminding him every 6 months or so. If a man gives you his word, it's going to be done. Things need to finish. What have you got to finish? Is it a book? Is it a symphony? Is it a song? Is it a business proposal? Is it a website? What is it, man, that you need to finish? But let's take it up a notch to another level, because these are practical things, but they're personal things. But let's take it up a notch. Let's take it up another level, because I think sometimes we think too small. Racism needs to end. Hello? I stood up against this from the beginning. You know why? Because I believe it's an injustice. And God is against injustice. I believe political division needs to end, but I'm not going to hold my breath about that. Homelessness needs to end. Hello. Homeless people were given homes in Manchester during the lockdown, but when the lockdown ends, what's going to happen? If they can be given a home in a lockdown, why can't they be given a home out of lockdown? Just things need to be shuffled around. But some things need to end. Human trafficking needs to end. And you're probably thinking, wow, man, that's ramped it up a notch. That's gone from writing a book and finishing a course to ending injustice around the world. Isn't that a little bit too much for someone like me to handle? Well, maybe your excuses need to end. The excuses that say, well, I'm not the person. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. You know, the things that make a difference in the world are done by ordinary people. Like you and like me, that refuse to let their excuses continue to hold them back and hold them bound. Let go of your negative thinking. All those things that stop you from making a difference in the world, end those mindsets. Imagine bringing to an end the mindset that keeps you away from your real purpose in life. Ain't that a thing you'd like to end? Some of those negative thoughts. That brings us to our second area, spiritual endings. This is where some real breakthrough and freedom comes, man. There are some challenges that we're going to face in our lives that always begin in our minds. Have you noticed? They begin as a thought. It's a thought about ourselves or our ability or our circumstances that gets built up until it becomes a barrier or a prison wall that is stopping us from fulfilling our potential. And ending that thought process is necessary. That's where the Bible says, take these thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. See, you got to think of yourself as God thinks about you, not just as you think about you or other people think about you. Because let me tell you something about how people think about you. Everyone in the world has got a different view of who you are. And it's probably different to you. For example, I have to grab a hold of my thoughts. My thoughts are personally that I am not much. I'm not worth much. I'm not very valuable as a person. I don't have many skills or many giftings. I haven't really got a lot to offer. They're my thought processes that I have to wrestle with. But they're different to the ones that many of you think, that you think that I've got film star good looks, I've got a body to die for. Hello, I'm intelligent and funny and humorous, that I'm like James Bond. I'm like the James Bond of Victory Outreach. I know what you think. So our thoughts don't match up, do they? But what does God think? What does God think? I think God thinks that somewhere in the middle. He says, don't get out of your pram, son, but you're not too bad. And if you do this in the way I tell you to do it, you can make a massive difference in the world. See, thinking that our dreams are beyond our reach, thinking that you're never going to be able to have that love of your life, that relationship, thinking all of these thoughts, thinking that you're not worthwhile, thinking that no one cares, these things need to end. Those thought processes need to end. Because unless they end, you know what the thought does? The thought then produces a hormone that rushes through your body and it produces stress. And then you wonder why you're all tense and you've got them big knots in your shoulders and you've got a neck ache and a headache and you can't sleep properly. And it all begins with that thought. End it. Take it captive. Do it today. Ask God to show you. You think you've got no real purpose and that everything then just becomes about survival? It's keeping you stuck in a place that you do not need to be stuck in. And that negative process needs to end. For me personally, I tell you what, can I be honest and open to you? I am ending a season of disappointment and indecision in my life. I told you I was hit from all these different areas and I started getting indecisive. I was like, I'm a decision maker. I make decisions like on a daily basis and I couldn't even make a decision. I was like, oh, I'm ending that. I'm ending that. I'm ending that fear. I'm ending that stuff. Taking it captive. There's an ending, a necessary ending that's coming. And I've decided that I'm going to go an extra mile in my ministry. How about you? Are you ready to end some stuff? I am. I made my choice to sever the hurt I've felt from selfish people who've let me down. I'm ending any wound-licking parties I get involved in. I mean, you know, I've been in some wound-licking parties where I've been there licking me wounds and just wanting to lick me wounds in front of people like a dog with scabies. Hello? I'm ending that. I don't want to get around people licking wounds. Because when you end that stuff, what you're ending is the possibility for your past failures or for other people's past failures to negatively influence your future. Things have to end. Why don't you try it? Sometimes, though, we get comfortable in our misery, right? And then we want to stay where we're at, even though we know that it's probably going to kill us if we stay there. We're so comfortable in it that we stay in that in-between place, in between an ending and a new beginning. I once remember climbing Mount Snowdon with the flu. It was the gang, God's Anointed Now generation, the ministry of our church that is filled with young people, young adults. They're all funky and energetic and they were buzzing on it. We're going to climb Mount Snowdon. We're going to raise funds for something. Pastor, would you come with us? They challenged me. And how many of you know, I'm God stripped me of a lot of pride, but I still got some stinking pride inside of me. And so even though I had the flu, I got up at silly o'clock in the morning, felt like I got up about half an hour before I went to bed. I woke up, I was as sick as a dying animal. And my wife, Vicky, she said to me, you're not going, are you? I said, I've got to go. They challenged me. She said, but you're sick. I said, yeah, I know, but I've got to go. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And I just forced myself to do it. And I got in my car and I drove to Wales. And we drove there. And we got there and we got out in Snowdon Park. And I got out and I had my stuff on. And already I was feeling rinsed. You know when you got the flu, you're just rinsed, man. I had no energy. The drive had sucked the energy out of me. And I'm looking up at this mountain thinking, don't look at it, don't look at it, don't look at it. And then I strapped this big rucksack to my back and I filled it with all sorts of stuff. Bivy bags and sleeping bags and, first aid kits and Mars bars and, you know, flasks and stuff, just in case anyone didn't have anything, because they're young people, and how many of you know that sometimes they can just rely on everyone else to take care of their business? Me being a dad and all that, you know, you get all dad mode. And I stuck it on, it must have weighed 50 pounds. So now not only am I trying to drag myself up this mountain, I've got this big rucksack on my back filled with nonsense that other people don't even care. And they're all there in their trainers with little wind cheaters and stuff. Bags of Monster Munch and things, you know what I mean? That was their preparation. So here we went, we climbed up the mountain and I was done, man. I was messed up. I was dragging myself, everything was pain. There was pain in my body. My body was signaling me to stop. Just stop, you idiot. Stop, what are you doing? Go back down, what's the matter with you? But I kept going, I kept going, I kept stopping. I kept getting a little bit more energy. I'd have another little, you know, I had all these funky little things, you know, like these little gel things that you suck and, you know, and Mars bars and things. I'd have another bit of gel, I'd have another bit of water, I'd have another Mars bar, I'd go another, you know, 500 yards and then be rinsed again. And then it started to rain and we're halfway up this mountain. And it's snow and ice, and I'm like, and they're all skipping ahead, all these young people skipping ahead in their young bodies, unfairly. And there I am, 50-year-old man, trying to come up the mountain with a flu, carrying a rucksack full of their stuff. And then we get up to this part, and we're almost at the peak, and the sleet was coming in from sideways, man. I tell you no lie, it was coming in sideways. I was freezing. I was sucked dry. I had no energy. And I just laid down on the snow. I laid down on the snow and they said, come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. I said, no, I can't go no more. I laid on the snow. I just laid out on the snow, man. I said, I've got something in my rucksack. Right, just put it over me. I'm just going to lay here for a bit. I had the flu. You know what it's like. I'm just going to lay there. I'm going to lay there until I get better. That was what I was thinking. I just need to lay here until I get better. I was on top of a mountain, in the sleet, laying on snow. I was going to die. But how many of you know that sometimes when you're in that situation, the misery of just laying there and not having to move anymore was very comfortable. And I could have just laid there and just that would have been it. I almost felt like just laying there and having them carry me down. Just because of all the stuff I've carried up for them. You can carry me down the mountain, you got me into this. But then someone come back to me and they said, Pastor, the summit's just up there. It's like, you know, a few hundred yards. And there's a summit. There's a place that you get to on the top and it's like a mound. And you go up and you touch the summit and you've summited that thing. And something clicked into me. You can stay here in this miserable place in between everything. You're not in a safe place. You're not in a good place. You're not in the best place. You're not in the worst. You're just in this horrible place. Or you can get up and you can finish the thing. And something in me just calls me. I think it was stinking pride. Just calls me to get up. And I got up and I strapped my rucksack, that big, horrible, heavy rucksack on my back again. And I just made it up step by step and moment by moment. And I know I'm rinsing the story, but please feel it with me. And I managed to get to the top. And they were all there skipping around like nothing. And I'm like, I have just nearly died doing this. You don't understand. And I touched that thing. And it was finished. There was an ending. And you know what happened? Something kicked in. Something just started within me. Something shifted. And even though I was still messed up, even though I was still hurting, even though I was still rinsed of energy, I knew that that part had ended and that now there was something new that I could look forward to, which was now I could go home and get in my bed. Before it was just, I've got to get to the top of the mountain. Now it was like, I can go home to my bed. The ending. It was just a beginning in disguise. It was something new, something fresh, a new surge of purpose and health and life came upon me. And that's what happens when you finish something, when you make an ending of a season or a period or a thing in your life. So what needs to finish in your life? Is it an old mindset? Is it an old expectation? Some of you, you've got old expectations of how things should go. They're not going that way, man. Kill the expectation now. Expect something else. Maybe it's an old way of looking at things, an old paradigm. That was good then, but look at things different now. Things have changed. Circumstances have changed. Maybe you need to end some of those old things. Maybe it's just an old method that worked once, but now it's run its course. Whatever it is, it needs to stop holding you back. You're in this place called the present. The past is behind you. The future is calling you. So everything that only belongs in the past needs to be ended. The hard part, though, is letting go. Some of you have like a kung fu grip on some of these old things. You won't let them go, man, that old mindset, that old expectation, that old realization, that old method. But how many of you know God is prizing your fingers off one by one, but he will let your little fingers stay on there. He will not force you. But he's encouraging you. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on, my child. Come on, let that thing go. Make an end of that thing. Finish that thing. Come on, let's get that thing in the past. Learn the lesson. Take what it gave you and then move on. Are you with me? But you struggle to release it because it's familiar, it's sentimental, it's comfortable, but it might be ended. Might be dying, might be dead, might be over. Finish that thing. And I'm not talking right now about letting go of good memories. I'm not talking about killing everything in the past, letting go of all your friends and all the rest of it. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about this. I'm talking about bringing an ending to everything that has to do with fear. Anything that has to do with guilt. Anything that has to do with shame. Anything that has to do with hatred or bigotry or unforgiveness or unbelief. Those things need to end. And they need to end starting now. I'm talking about ending a season that has run its course and you've learned its lessons and it's even sometimes been good. But even good things necessarily need to end sometimes so that better things can come. Not everything that's good is God. God is not in that past. He is in the future, before you, beckoning you on, saying, come on, follow me, because I've got something better for you. Sometimes the good has to end before the better can begin. So end it. And then don't look back. Remember what the scripture said? It said, don't long for the good old days. There's no wisdom in that. So we need to end some stuff. Ending well is necessary, man. But ask yourself these questions. Some of you are like, man, it sounds good. I need to end some stuff, but what do I need to end? How do I know? How do I know what I need to end? Ask yourself a couple of questions. Is this thing helping me to grow? Am I learning from it? Or do you feel that you're just going round and round in circles now? You're just going, then end that thing. If it's not helping you to grow, if it's not helping you to progress in your life, then end it. It might need to be done now. It's done. If it's not helping you, it needs to be ended. Whatever it is. And then ask yourself this, is there still a need for this thing in my life? If there's no need for it, then end it. You don't need to be carrying it around as baggage with you anymore. That mindset, that way of doing things, that method, whatever it is, that expectation, end that thing. If it served its time, be ruthless with it and cut it loose, man. Cut it out. Stop it. So there's these two concepts that come together, ending and finishing, ending and finishing. Some things you need to finish and some things need to be cut loose and ended. And they all work together in you at the time that we're in right now because God wants something for you to understand, that there is something better on the horizon. There's something that you need to finish. Don't quit until you've finished it. Don't lay down on the snow at the top of the mountain underneath the peak, neither here nor there. Because endings are beginnings in disguise. This sermon has to end. Some of you are praying, hurry up and end. And it will finish. But I want to finish with this example. This is how things work out in real life. And we have the Bible to show us this. The Bible shows us patterns of how God works. And there's much that we can learn from the stories that we read. In one of the most famous stories, we touched upon it earlier, was the children of Israel coming out of their slavery in Egypt, right? And we can look at how that is a picture of us when we become Christians. We come out of bondage to the things of this world, and we come into a place where God wants to take us through into the purpose of our lives. We know the story. Moses gave Pharaoh God's ultimatum to let his people go. We know that Pharaoh resisted. There's a resistance to your freedom. And then we know that there were the 10 plagues. There was a lockdown. There was a Passover. We know the story. And then the Israelites were allowed to leave Egypt. Many of you, maybe you've prayed and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You've given him your wrongs and he's given you his rights. And you were let go. And then what happens is they came to a point where there was an ending. There was an ending of where Egypt ended and where their new promise was going to begin. And it was at a sea called the Red Sea. And the Israelites got all the way there. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. And he sent his armies after them. Because that's what happens after you get saved. And if you know, you have a honeymoon period where everything's wonderful and you're saved and you're free and everything's good. And then the enemy says, I'm not having that. I want them back. And he comes with temptation and madness and attrition and aggression and all these things to get you back into his clutches. And it's normally at a point where there's an ending, there's a decision to be made. They got to that place. Let's read on the story. Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. Are you ready? We're coming into a landing. I want you to know something. Exodus 14, verse 5, it says, when word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away, he said. Let's go after them. So they went after them. How many of you know the enemy's after you right now? He's trying to keep you in a place that needs to end. He's trying to keep you from finishing what it is that God wants you to finish. And the pressure is that you come up to this place of decision and the enemy comes after you. What are you going to do? Look what they did. Verse 11 and 12, they said to Moses, the Israelites turned around and said to Moses, they turned on their leader. Hello. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. That's like saying, I don't want to live like a Christian. I was better off when I could do whatever I wanted. I was better off when no one was telling me that what I was doing was wrong. I was better off when I didn't have any conviction of sin. I was better off now. They were faced with the finish to their old life, but it got difficult. And they got angry and they looked back to the good old days. But this is what Moses said to them, and this is what I'm saying to you today. Listen to me right now. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Stand still. And watch the Lord rescue you today. Don't be afraid, man. Be still. Watch what God's going to do. Don't go back. Don't stop. End that thing. Then he said this, the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. Man, I heard this when I was coming out of addiction. And let me tell you what, when God said this to me, 25 years later, I don't see those Egyptians no more. Read through the scriptures. Tell me when the Egyptians were a problem to Israel after that. The Philistines, yeah. The Amalekites, yeah. The Ammonites, yeah. The Egyptians, no. God dealt with that situation. And when you bring an end into what he wants you to end today, that thing's done. It's in the past. It ain't going to hurt you no more. It can't get you no more. It can't hold you back no more. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. When you keep going to the finish and you make an end of those things that need to end, everything that has had the power to hold you back will lose its power over your life and you'll never have to deal with it again. Does that sound good to you? It's finished. It's ended. But here's the thing, and we're closing right now. Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. There comes a point when the pastor, the preacher, the prophet, the priest, whatever, can tell you this is what I believe the Lord's saying. There's this thing that we need to do. But now it's up to you to get moving. It's up to you to make the cut. It's up to you to finish that thing. It's up to you to deal with that situation. It's up to you. This is your life. It's your ending. But there's a new beginning that's coming. So what do you need to end? What do you need to finish? Because let me tell you, there's a new beginning coming. There's a new season. There's a new situation. There's new opportunities. But for the new to be realized, the end needs to be accomplished. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person that is watching this, listening to this. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be a revelation, an understanding, an exposure of some of those areas that you're highlighting right now, that you say to people that you want them to end this thing, you want them to finish this thing, you want them to take care of this situation. Maybe it's lingered. Maybe you've been waiting to get involved. And you won't end a mindset. You won't end an expectation. Maybe you're holding unforgiveness or a grudge against someone. Maybe there's unbelief because God's disappointed you in the past, according to you, because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. Maybe he didn't do what you wanted him to do back then because he needed you to do something. He wanted you to do something. Whatever it is, before you can start something fresh, you need to end something old. Father, in Jesus' name, please, God, I pray. Touch people's hearts right now. Minister to people. Lord, I pray that your presence would be released into every house and every home and every heart. Become real to every single person. May we then just trust you. That you know what you're doing. And that the future that you have for us is better than anything that we've got right now. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lift up your hands right where you're at in your home. Make your move. And take your stand. Stand. Stand up in your house. Stand up. You say, you know what? I'm bringing something to an end. I'm going to finish what God wants me to finish. Stand up. Take a stand. You're in your own house, man. Take a stand now. And stand up and lift up your hands and say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you. I surrender to your will. I surrender to your ways. Whatever it is that you want to end in me, end it. Whatever it is you want me to finish, grace me to finish it. And then, oh God, I will stand still and I will see the waters of the Red Sea part. I will see your deliverance. Because I believe that my deliverer lives. I believe that my redeemer lives. I believe, oh God, that you're my savior, my protector, my provider. I believe that the future, it's amazing. It's going to be amazing. My God, take me in. Take me in. Take me further. Let me go. I want to go. Let's do this. And the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come upon every person right now. Manifest your power. Manifest yourself in their houses. You're not limited to space and geography. My God, you can be everywhere. Lord, I pray, be with every house, every home, every heart, every hungry person right now. Release your anointing and set captives free. break bondages, break yokes that have arisen, break mindsets in the name of Jesus. Let there be healthy, necessary endings so that there can be new, fresh beginnings. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.